This coming week is the Yahrzeit of the Balatanya. Of course, we know that the Balatanya is the Bal HaTanya. He's the author of the Sefer HaTanya, which is considered to be, by many, the most important Sefer, perhaps, in Chassidus. The Abderav said about the Sefer, it's called Likutei Amarim, but it's known as the Sefer HaTanya because the opening word is Tanya. So the Abderav, who was a contemporary, slightly, of the Bal HaTanya, said about the Sefer HaTanya, that it's such a chosh of a Sefer that even the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they follow the derech of the Bal HaTanya in the Avodas Hashem. And Tzaddikim said many, many ma'amarim. If this was a Shir on Tanya, we would quote, you know, the different statements which are made by Tzaddikim. So the Bal HaTanya, of course, is the first Lubavitch Rebbe. There were seven Lubavitch Rebbes. Before it was Lubavitch, though, and Ladi. So that's the Bal HaTanya. So a few ma'asim with the Bal HaTanya. And with this will be Yotzi, our story with the Baal Shem Tov as well. That there was a machlekes between the Bal HaTanya and Rav Baruch Meshbitzer. Anybody heard of Baruch Meshbitzer? Hope you did. Spoke about him a couple weeks ago. Baruch Meshbitzer was a big misnagid to the Bal HaTanya. And of course, we can't understand machlechitz. Of course, he had tremendous harocha for the Bal HaTanya. And there's even a story about that, which we're not going to share tonight. And the machlekes between the Bal HaTanya and Rav Baruch Meshbitzer was really about drachim and avodas Hashem. The Bal HaTanya was a very big on spreading the Torah of Chassidus. He was imprisoned for that. He was imprisoned for that, not just by the Russian authorities, but in Shemayim he was imprisoned for that. And he felt, though, that this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, that the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Magid, that it should be Yafutsu. Until this day, the derech of the Lubavitcher Chassidim is exactly that. It's to spread the Uferatzta, the Dvar Hashem, the Divrei Elokim Chaim, throughout the world. So, once, somebody commented to the Bal HaTanya, they said, how could you make a machlekes with the Baruch Meshbitzer? You know how great the Baruch Meshbitzer is? He says that he's the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. He says one time the Baal Shem Tov was holding the Baruch Meshbitzer as a young child in his lap, as a baby in his lap. And he said to him, tell me a Torah on the beginning of Maseches Ksubis. So Baruch Meshbitzer, as a young child, he was in the lap of the Baal Shem Tov. He said that a kala is like the levana. A kala is like the moon. And he says in the beginning of Maseches Ksubis, Besula Nisei Shleyem Harvi, that a Besula, that she gets married on a Wednesday. Wednesday is the day that the Shemesh and the Reich were created. So he says that's why it's appropriate that a kala should get married on that day. Get married on the night of Wednesday night. So then he said that Besula Nises L'Yayim Harvi is Rosh Tevis Levana. It's Rosh Tevis Levana. He says, how can you argue on Baruch Meshbitzer? As a child, he was saying Torahs like this. So the Bal HaTanya said, he says, even if the Baal Shem Tov asked a rock to say the Torah, it would say the Torah like that. You understand? You understand, Maisa? There's another story similar to explain the shita of the Bal HaTanya when it came to Uferatzta, the Afutsu of the Baal Shem Tov's Torahs. Once the Magid became very sick, the Magid from Mezrich, and the Talmidim sent a pidyon nefesh. Tzaddikim are able to do certain pidyonis for neshamas by way of money. There's kavanas avaitas in the Arizal. And Rav Pinchas Karzer, who was a Talmud also, the Baal Shem Tov, they sent money to him to do a pidyon for the neshama of the Magid from Ezvich, that he should have a refuah shleima. And Rechitz Karetz saw that he couldn't be poil Yeshua for the Magid from afar. So he traveled the distance, he came to the home of the Magid from Ezvich. And when he entered into the house, he encountered the Balatanya. And he asked the Balatanya, "Where's the Magid?" He said, "The Magid shluffing." So they got into a conversation. And after the conversation, so the Rav Pinchas Karetz excused himself, and he went to go into the Beis Knesset, into the shul. And he found that the Kisvei Kodesh of the Magid were on the floor. And he was very upset about that. When he came back into the room, he told the Balatanya, "This is the reason why the Magid is sick." Implying that he felt it was a siman hashamayim, that because the Magid's Torah is around the floor, meaning that because you, the Balatanya, your shita is that you want to spread the word of the Magid, spread the word of the Baal Shem Tov, without any being mafchin, without any care, who's going to hear the Torahs? And this is one of the reasons why Rav Baruch Medrashter and other tzaddikim were against it, because they felt that these Torahs are so precious, we can't have them fall into the wrong hands, because they could be misconstrued and they can cause greater hezek, more harm than to do good. So when he came into the Beis Medrash and he saw the Torahs of the Magid on the floor, he says, "This is the reason why the Magid is sick." So the Baal HaTanya needed to defend himself now. So the Baal HaTanya explained with the following mashal. He says, in a certain Medina there was a king, and in his old age he gave birth to a son who was very precious to him, his Ben Zakunim. And this son became very sick, and they needed a certain medicine which could not be found in that Medina. And the king ordered that all of the samim, all the medicines in the Medina should be brought to the house of the king in hope that they would find the right cure for the child. And they did that, and they examined all of the different potions and medicines, and they found amongst them there was one which could help the young prince. However, in the meantime, the prince fell into a worse state, and he was unconscious. And the Raif and the doctors were beside themselves because they needed to pour the medicine into the mouth of the prince. But because the mouth of the prince was sealed shut, that's how he fell into that state of unconsciousness. So there was no hope. So the king, he was very concerned about, of course, the child, but he was very concerned about this medicine. So he took it out of the hands of the Raifim, and he says, "We have to put it away. We have to be very careful that we don't lose this, this medicine." So then he realized, the king, that, "Wait a second, why am I being so concerned about the medicine, not about the child?" He says, "I have an etza. Why don't we take the medicine and we'll pour it onto the mouth of the child, and what gets in will get in. Most of it probably won't go in, but if even just a little bit of it will go in, so then there's hope that the child should live." And they did that, and they were matzliach. Some of it went into the mouth of the child, and he had a refuah. Now, even though most of it fell onto the floor, but since a little bit went into his mouth, he had a refuah. So the Baal HaTanya said to Pinchas Karetz, based on this mashal, he says, "We are that child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're in a state right now of unconsciousness. And Hashem gave us these tires of the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid to revive the spirit of the Jewish people. But we have no choice. Our mouths are sealed and we're in a state of unconsciousness. What we need to do is we have to put it on our mouths. And if some of it spills onto the floor and it goes into the wrong places, but at least the child of the king is alive and well." So when Rav Pinchas Karetz heard this, he says, "Hechi yisani me'od." He says, "You give me a lot of chiyus." And he says, "Because of this tight which you had, your mom took the dinim, and the Magid is going to have refuah shleima, v'kachav." Again, we're sharing these mices not just to like share maises. Of course, it's a tremendous thing, but I've tried to choose maisim. I see many, many maisim in the course of preparing for this. And I tried to choose maisim, which are usually, they're coming to, which share a lot about Avodas Hashem. Not many maisim here about maisim and miracles. There's lots of those too. But what I learned from my Rebbe, and he learned from his Rebbe, and is to try to share maisim, which that although they go bang bang one after the other, each one could be like a shir. Really, could be like a shir. And there's a lot to be learned from the maisim, not just the inyan of Motzei Shabbos, but the maisim themselves. I choose them. I try to choose them very carefully. This is a story which I also heard from my Rebbe. He said that the Balatanya was the Baal Kore. He used to read from the Torah. And just parenthetically, the Balatanya, when he would read, he was very medactic, not just that the words be said properly and the Nekudah said properly, even the trup. Even the trup had to be said appropriately. And he would even though Alpi Halacha, if the Baal Kore makes a mistake in the trup, you don't have to call him back on it. But the Balatanya was makbid on that based on Pnimis HaTzera, reasons for that. So once, the Balatanya was away, and it was Shabbos Parshas Kisavo, and the Balatanya wasn't there to read from the Torah. So his son, Reb Duber, who was the Admor Emtsai, who was the second Rebbe, at the time he was very young, and it was before his Bar Mitzvah, and somebody else was called up to read from the Torah because the Balatanya was absent. And after the reading of the Klalos and the Teichecha, so Reb Duber, he fell into a state of tremendous depression. So much so that shortly after Kisavai is Yom Kippur. And there was a Safek Balabalatanya whether or not his son would be able to fast in Yom Kippur that year, because hearing the Klalos of the Teichecha put him in such a depressed state. So they asked him, they said to him, I understand, you hear the Klalos every single year, so what's the problem? So he says, no, I don't. He says, when Tati reads from the Torah, I don't hear Klalos, I hear Brachas. This is the first time I ever heard Klalos in reading of the Teichecha. Now the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that really all the Klalos are Brachas. When the Balatanya was appointed the Rav in the Av Beis Din, so as you can imagine, there was a big Kabbalas Kahal, and everybody came, and they chanted, you know, Yechi Adonai Moreinu Raveinu, probably. And afterwards, you know, when they called him up, there was, you know, Kvoid, Kedushas, Admor, Raveinu, Haroin, Atzadik, Maifes Ador, Rashke Behag, the whole thing. And afterwards, when the whole thing was over, he went into his private room, into his room, and he closed the door. And people were bending in the ear, trying to listen to what they can hear him whispering something. What is he saying? What's he saying? So they heard him whispering the following thing to himself. I'll read it to you in Hebrew. Oyd hapa moire moreno, v'oyd hapa moire moreno, right? They keep calling me moire moreno, moire moreno. Ilu haya kan bar, if there was a pit here, I would throw myself into the pit. But what can I do? This is the Ratzon Hashem. And I have to be makabel these Yisurin bi'ahava. I can give a whole share on that. There's a whole share on that. To be makabel the Yisurin bi'ahava. If it was me, I would be the, you know, I'd be the happiest guy alive. If that was me on that day. Oh, the Mareinu. To be makabel. This is what he was whispering to Hashem. Makabel the Yisurin bi'ahava. Makabel the Yisurin bi'ahava. Sound a little bit of the anivus of the Balatanya, but Tosefis Yaseir, not just that Maisa. Once he was, the Tzaddik of Yaakov Yisrael from Horna Stipel was standing behind the chair of the Balatanya, and it was Yom Kippur. And he heard that people were saying to the Balatanya about Reb Zusha, that when he lifts up his eyes on Yom Kippur to the heavens, so he has dam, blood starts to come out of his body. because of the great pachad in Yerushalayim he has of Hashem on that day of Yom Kippur. So the Baal HaTanya, when he heard this, he said to himself, "Oy vey." He says, "I learn and I daven and I have no hispilus from Hashem whatsoever." And he was so tzebrachan after hearing that, he says, "I'm not an oyvin Hashem, I'm so far from Yerushalayim." And he fainted on the floor. He was so tzebrachan after feeling like he was so far from the madrigas of Reb Zusha that he couldn't handle it. Just plats on the floor. Of course, he was just a tremendous onov. There was his mesiras nefesh and his avodas Hashem was legendary. When he used to daven, he would daven with such a kayach that in front of him they had to put cotton or sheets, pillows on the wall in front of him, because he would go like this. He would bang his head against the wall with such a force that blood would come from his forehead. Of course, he wasn't margish because he was in a dvekas. He didn't even know that he was banging his head against the wall. But he would go like that, banging his head. So to protect him, they put pillows against the wall so that he should be safe. Baal HaTanya was on his way to go to learn for the Maggid, and he had spent some time there. And on his way back, he spent some time there by the Maggid, and the Maggid sent him home, and he says, "You're here for too long. You need to ask your Rebbetzin for more permission to be here." Interesting. So on his way home, he passed through the city of Karetz, and he passed. If you're going to Karetz, you have to stop at Pinchas Karetzer. And Pinchas Karetzer was a big fan of the Baal HaTanya, and he asked him, "Why don't you spend some time by me? You're always by the Maggid. Why don't you spend some time here? I have a lot to teach you." He says, "If you stay here, I promise you, I will teach you Kol HaTorah Kula, all of the Torah, all of the Chachmas, and I will even teach you the language of the birds and of the trees." Which, like the Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan, that he knew all the secrets of creation. So again, if it was me, I would, I'd definitely stay. So the Baal HaTanya says, "No, the ikur in life and in avodas Hashem is to know yichud ilah v'yichud tata. It's to know Hashem's oneness, what's called Hashem's oneness up above, and to know Hashem's oneness below, and that I get very, very good from the Maggid. I don't need anything else." It says a lot about what we're here to do. We're not here just to amass a lot of knowledge. We're here to Hashem wants to be known to us. Baal HaTanya, his svarim are filled with these ideas of yichud ilah, yichud tata, knowing who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. He had such a idea of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Baal HaTanya. So once, one of the G'dayli Talmid of Baal HaTanya, Rav Aaron Strausger, the Avodas Halevi, whose svarim are very deep and very rich. So he mustered the strength to ask the Baal HaTanya, "What are you mechavin when you say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael?" I don't know how you ask a Rebbe such a question, but what are you mechavin when you say the pasuk Shema Yisrael? So while he asked him this question, a bird flew by. So the Baal HaTanya, he pointed to the bird and he said, "So just as good as you can explain to that bird your kavanas in Shema Yisrael, that's why I can explain to you my kavanas in Shema Yisrael." At the end of his life, the Baal HaTanya, he said that he only saw or. He didn't see anything other than Hashem's light. He says there were things in the room, but he said about himself, I don't see anything except Hashem's light. All I see is Hashem's light, and I see letters. I don't see anything else other than Hashem Yisbarach Hamolach. We'll talk a whole night about the stories of the Baal HaTanya, but I'll share one more story. It's a very cute story. Rav Shlomo Karliner, many of you probably haven't heard of Shlomo Karliner. He was considered to be probably the greatest tzaddik of his time. And the Baal HaTanya held him to be, I think he held him to be the tzaddik, like the neshama of Mashiach. They said he had the neshama of Mashiach ben Yosef. He was killed, like what we know about the fate of Mashiach ben Yosef. So the Shlomo Karliner, he was one of the great Talmidim of the Maggid as well. So he was older than the Baal HaTanya. And he told the Baal HaTanya that I want to come visit you. Now, you can imagine the Shlomo Karliner was considered to be the Gadol b'Yisrael. He was older than the Baal HaTanya, and he wants to come to the house of the Baal HaTanya. So in the house of the Baal HaTanya, to have a guest like Shlomo Karliner come was a very big yontiv in the house. And there was a very big excitement. And so they covered the tables with Shabbos tablecloths, and everybody put on Big Day Shabbos, the cover of Shlomo Karliner, because the Tzaddik is coming, it's like an Inyan of Shabbos. So they started to prepare the meal. What are they going to be serving with Shlomo Karliner? So in the kitchen, there was a feud which started to occur between the Rebbetzin and the cook. The cook and the Rebbetzin were in a machlekes, who was going to cook the dish, the meal, for Rabbi Shlomo Karliner. So the Rebbetzin said, I'm the Rebbetzin. I'm the Rebbetzin. That seems like it's pasha, right? I'm the Rebbetzin. I deserve to cook the meal. No, she said, so the cook said, no. This is my job. My job is to cook. I have rights to cooking here. I'm going to cook. So the Baal HaTanya had to intervene, and this is what he paskin in this machlekes. He said that really the Rebbetzin should make it. But because she's right, the cook also has rights to cooking, so she's going to add the salt. She's going to add the salt to the dish. So that was the arrangement which was made between the Rebbetzin and the cook. Right? So of course, you can imagine that the cook, this was her only chelik, was to put in the salt. So if this is her only chelik, you can imagine that she put in a nice amount of salt because she wanted to have a nice chelik in preparing the dish for Shlomo Karliner. So as the dish was cooking, so one of the daughters of the Baal HaTanya passed through the kitchen, and she also wanted to be mishtatif. So what did she do? She took some salt and she put it into the dish. So of course, Shlomo Karliner comes, and you know the tablecloth is set, and the Big Day Shabbos, and everybody's sitting at the table, and they bring the dish in front of the Shlomo Karliner, and he takes one bite of it, and he goes like that. He says, "Ah." So the Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, thought that the reason why he did that because there wasn't enough salt. So he takes the salt and he puts it into the dish, and he says, "Nu, est Reb Shlomo, est." Eat something. So he says, "I can't. It's inedible." So the Baal HaTanya says, "What?" So he takes the dish, and he eats it, and he eats it, and he eats it, and he says, "I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. It's delicious." Shlomo Karliner says, "Kol kach tzayir." He says, "I couldn't believe it. He's such a youngster. And he doesn't have any time in Gashmias at all." And he says, "I cannot believe that he's at such a young age. He doesn't have any time for Gashmias." So later on, they told the Baal HaTanya, you know, the remarks that Shlomo Karliner said about him, that such a youngster and no time for Gashmias at all. So the Baal HaTanya said, "When I was in Mezrich for the first time, and I heard my first Torah from the mouth of the Maggid, it was just a short Torah, only a few words, that's all. From that moment I heard that Torah, I lost all of my time for Gashmias whatsoever." This is the way that the Tzaddikim teach the Mishnah Avos. It says, "Kol hanehen midivrei Torah," that anybody who has hana from divrei Torah, "noitel chayav mina olam." The Pashup Shana of the Mishnah means that if you get hana from Torah, meaning that you're excited about the fact that people will say that you're a Rebbe and you're a Rav and they'll give you kavod, so then "noitel chayav mina olam," then Hashem will take away your olam haba for you. But the tzaddikim taich kol hanehen midivrei Torah, if a person has real hana from learning Torah, "noitel chayav mina olam," he doesn't have any life other than Torah anymore. You have no chayim in anything else. You don't have any chayim from any video games. You have no chayim for amusement parks or baseball games, nothing. Your only time which you have in life, if you have a true time from Torah, is Torah. That's it. Ein tai vela Torah. Torah is the only thing which is it's the sweetest thing. We're talking about... That's what that Mesil Sashayim, in the beginning of Mesil Sashayim, says, the Gam HaNefesh Lei Samale, that this neshama comes from the heavens. What could you possibly give to a neshama and from this world which will make it say that this does it for me? It's royalty. It's like trying to give a king, you know, some sushi, and nowadays the kings eat sushi probably, but something which, you know, salt and, yeah, some herring, chreis, you know, they're not going to... This is this nothing in this world which can satisfy the neshama. That's it. If a person has a true tam in the Vetaira, that's a halavai we should have. We should have a true tam in the Vetaira. We should have vikas and tayra, vikas with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, koyim echayim.